first great revival of the church, and notice preceding this revival, we brought out last week how that there was obedience, there was separation. We see that they were also unified, and they were continuing, and we see that they were also praising the Lord, and see that there was a joyful church, and so on. And then we left off with the manifestation of this spiritual revival and the saving of souls. We see the spiritual awakening must not only come from heaven, but it must also come through the church if we're going to have a revival. He says, unto him be glory in the church. And so, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to be where it's at. We're going to have to be in the church. We're going to have to be in the church. And so we see here that the revival, or this spiritual awakening, came upon the church. And we see that it came from heaven. It came from heaven. In Acts chapter 2, and we'd like to begin reading in verse 1. Notice a few verses there. We see here, first of all, that there was complete harmony here in the church. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We see that they were in total agreement. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, unto the church, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon a few of them. No. It sat upon each of them. Boy, wouldn't that be tremendous? Wouldn't that be a blessing? The Lord came to our church. The Holy Spirit of God visited each one of us. And they were all filled. They were all filled. The whole church was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, is that what it said or not? No, I don't believe it said that. And they began to speak with unknown. No. Other tongues, plural. Plural. As the Spirit gave them utterance. It was not an unknown tongue, like many of them will try to teach it today. It was other tongues So that does away with the unknown tongue business. And so they were all filled. The whole church was filled. It wasn't two or three that were filled and started speaking in this gibberish that they do. It was the whole church. They were all filled. But what I want you to see here is that this spiritual awakening came upon the church. And if we're going to have revival, and we're going to have this kind of spirit in our midst, the Lord is going to have to work on the heart of each member of Olmsted Baptist Church. Can you imagine what could be going on in Olmsted Baptist Church, and what can happen during this revival meeting if the Spirit of God would pay each one of us a visit? And in order for that to happen, everything that we preached last week, we're going to have to be continuing. We're going to have to be unified. There's going to have to be some separation. There's going to have to be some obedience. If that's going to happen, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to pay the price for revival. Revivals just don't happen. They just don't fall out of the sky. The Lord is going to have to visit each one of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it began here in the upper room among the faithful 120, and not one unsaved person was present there. And so if there's going to be revival, it's going to have to begin with each member. With each member. We see also that the Holy Spirit of God gave him power to witness. In fact, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken." Now notice that. When they had prayed, what were they praying for? I believe that every one of them were praying for the will of God to be done in their life. You say, "I don't know if I want to pray that way or not." But they were praying. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." You see, "Oh, Brother Jones, that was way back during the first church." That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the first great revival of the church. And we can still have this kind of revival. We can have an old-time, an old-fashioned revival. As I said many times, a lot of new converts, new members of our independent Baptist churches have never experienced a true, genuine revival meeting. But this is how it's going to come about. This is how we're going to have revival. And if these things are going to happen in our church during this meeting, in our meetings to come, these requirements are going to have to be met. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And I believe when we get down to business and really pray like we ought to pray and get in touch with the Lord and get close to the Lord and get to praying like we ought to, we're going to see some things happening. I believe that with all my heart. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. And the people received it. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And for us to speak it boldly, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did y'all see that? Several years ago, I would say, I don't know, it seems like it was yesterday. But I guess it was probably about 12, 15 years ago. We held a revival meeting in Julian Baptist Church where Brother Garner Smith was pastor at that time. We went for 7 nights. And every night, there was people that were getting their hearts right. The Lord was saving souls every single night. Somebody was saved. A couple nights, the whole front of the church, from one wall to the other, were people that were coming forward and getting their lives right and people surrendering their lives to the Lord and getting their hearts right with the Lord and the Lord saving people and some surrendering to preach. And it was just an old-time fashion revival. And so we were going to close the meeting out Sunday night, and Brother Garner said, I believe we need to go another night. So we went, started that next night, that Monday. And the Lord was still saving that Monday night. Brother Garner said, I believe we need to go another night. So we went another night. And the Lord was still saving. He said, I believe we ought to go another night. So we went all the way through till the following week, Wednesday. And he had to go hold a meeting in West Virginia somewhere. We closed the meeting out that Wednesday. And from that time until the next 6 weeks, the Lord was saving somebody every week there in that church. But I believe it was because of the Holy Spirit of God that had touched the heart and pricked the heart of God's people, and they got their hearts right with the Lord. The church was in condition to receive a revival. But we're going to have to be in a condition spiritually to be able to receive a revival. Our hearts are going to have to be in a spiritual condition to have a revival meeting. They're not just going to come. The Lord is going to have to send it. It's going to have to come from heaven. And we're going to have to be in a spiritual condition to receive the revival. I'm looking forward to it. And so, the Holy Spirit gave them power here to witness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's going to have to be according to the power that worketh in us. And we need that. Revival does not come by wishing. Revival comes by the power of God. It's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. His power worketh in us. Is that how you're praying? Are you praying that the power of God will work in you? And so he says, now in Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according, it's according to the power that worketh in us. That's how we're going to be revived. How are you praying? How are you praying for this revival? Now notice also here the influence of this revival. The influence of this revival. It started in the upper room, but it wasn't long until all Jerusalem knew about this revival. Boy, wouldn't that be something? And that revival started here at Olmsted Baptist Church. And it was spread. And it would go all the way up to Flint, Michigan. And when we get up there in April for that Bible conference, that it'll break out there. Wouldn't that be great? But wouldn't it be great if it would start right here at Olmsted Baptist Church? Now we see also the working of the Lord in His people the first day after this revival, after the multitude came together in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, what'd they hear? When they heard about the death, the burial, and the resurrection, he talking about the resurrection quite a bit up through here in these preceding verses. But when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Boy, I tell you what. When they were pricked in the heart. And when you're pricked in the heart, when the Holy Spirit of God pricks you in the heart, you're not going to have a bit of trouble with calling out to the Lord and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You're not going to have any problem with saying, Lord, save me. And that's what you've got to see. You're here tonight and lost. You know, sometimes preaching the gospel, sometimes I come at wit's end sometimes, you know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what kind of invitation to give. The Lord settled that for me today or yesterday. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe that there must be the pricking of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, just like it happened here. But I believe with all of my heart is what you've got to do is just simply, once the gospel is preached, you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you trust the gospel, and you just simply rest in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. You just rest in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you do. That's it. You just rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Isn't that the way it happened to you? Isn't that what you did? And we try to make some big hard thing out of it and try to make it as difficult as we can for people to understand, and is all you've got to do is just rest in the complete and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Just rest in that. That's as simple as I can come up with. That's it. Just rest in what He did. I don't know if anything else to tell you. And I reviewed my own salvation, went back and reminisced a little bit, and that's exactly what I did. I just simply rest in what He did for me. That was it. And I know all the repentance and all the faith and all the trust and all. I know that's all there. It's all there. And I believe every bit of it was an instantaneous work. That's just like saying which hits the wall first, the bullet or the hole. I believe the repentance was there, the faith was there, the trust was there. It was all there. When the Spirit of God gave me liberty and freedom to be able to just simply say, Lord, I'm trusting You as my personal Savior. I repent of all of my sins. I'm trusting in You, and I believe with all of my heart that You died for my sins, and that is what I'm depending on to get to heaven. And I believe that with all of my heart, and that's where I'm resting. And boy, I rested in that, and I got peace immediately. It was there. Say, did you cry? Cried like a baby. Say, do I have to cry? No. Not at all. Salvation isn't in crying. Salvation isn't in praying. Salvation is in simply believing with all of your heart in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Why, I was as green as a gourd to a lot of things, spiritually, the first week I was saved, even up to the first year I was saved. They mentioned the doctrine of election to me, and I said, who's running? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know what election was. There was a lot of terms. I didn't know what it was. And in fact, the day the Lord saved me, I went home, got the dictionary out, and looked up the word salvation. I had so many people that had witnessed to me about salvation and mentioned the word salvation and everything. I went home and looked up the word salvation, and you know what I found out it meant? Deliverance. I said, hallelujah! That's what I've got. I've got salvation. I had been delivered from my sins. But as far as the words and the terms and everything else, I didn't know what they meant no more than anything. And I heard him talking about the new birth and everything else. Boy, I knew what that was. Old things had passed away, and behold, all things become new. You say, how do you know you're saved? I was there when it happened. I was there when it happened. No problem. I can go back to that very, very spot. And that very week when the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with me and working on my heart. And the day that I believed with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And so you're here and lost without the Lord. Just rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop trying to make it more difficult than what it is. And I believe we can do that. Now, notice in Acts chapter 2 here, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, we see that they were, the Holy Spirit of God had convicted them. And immediately they were saved by the grace of God and had a desire to want to follow the Lord in baptism. Boy, I tell you what, day the Lord saved me. What do I do next? What do I do? What am I supposed to do? What do I have to do now? I'd call that preacher. I mean, he got so tired of me calling him. I'd call him 10 times a day. I'd read my Bible and I'd have a question for him. I'd call him and talk to him and I wanted to be around the preacher. Well, I tell you what, that's another evidence of salvation. And that house full of questions. But we see here, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or because of the remission of sins. And so you're here and lost without the Lord. Repent, believe with all of your heart. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Repent of that sin of unbelief and trust him. I went for 24 years of my life, never thought anything much at all about Jesus Christ and what he did for me. But at the age of 24, I believed it with all of my heart. And I repented of that sin of unbelief. Went for all those years not believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I just simply said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm trusting you as my personal Savior. I was gloriously saved by the grace of God. Wasn't anything that I had done. I just simply trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting you. I never go to hell, will I? And you may be at that point right now. Maybe you want to call out tonight. And maybe you want to trust the Lord right now. And just simply say, Lord, I'm trusting you. And if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting you. That is the only thing I'm depending on to get to heaven. That's it. I'm not dependent on anything else other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, notice also in Acts chapter 2 here in verse... Let's go on and read 39 and 40. For the promise is unto you, the Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off. Who is that? That was you. That was to the Gentiles. Anybody that's not a full-blooded Jew, a Gentile. And so he says, for the promise is unto you, the Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, save yourselves from this outward generation. He said, now there you go, preacher. Salvation isn't all but grace. If you've got to save yourself. Say, well, how do you save yourself? You save yourself by following the Lord in scriptural baptism. You save, the Lord saves your soul by the grace of God. Your life is saved by becoming a member of a New Testament Baptist church, following the Lord in baptism, and becoming a member of the Lord's church. The church will save your life. The Lord saves your soul. And oh, how true that is. You've all experienced it. And the result of that first day's meeting, the result of the first day, the first day's meeting, there was 3,000 souls saved. And baptized and added unto the church. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church, or unto them, about 3,000 souls. Woo! How'd you like to see that happen here? Now, do y'all believe this black book or not? Y'all, some of you may have a red one. Y'all believe it? Do y'all believe that the same thing could happen here? Man, you talk about, we've spent probably $50,000 here in the last few months. You talk about spending money. Lord, add 3,000 souls here. We're going to have to be doing something. Huh? We're going to have to be building a building three or four size, times the size of this one here. He said, I believe with all of my heart, if the Lord could do it then, he can do it now. The last couple Sundays we've had this church, that the church has been full. Where are we going to put them? If the Lord adds 100, where are we going to put them? Are you expecting the Lord to do that? Listen, we're going to be in a revival here pretty quick that we've never been in before. Does that do anything to you? What are you anticipating? Are you just going to come to this meeting and just say, well, tonight's the revival meeting. We've got to get ready and get around here and get going to go to revival meeting. But are you going to go expecting? What are you going to expect during this revival meeting? How are you all praying for this revival? What are you expecting to happen? I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting God to get a hold of our hearts and turn us every which way but loose by the Spirit of God. I'm looking forward for the Lord to do that. I'm looking forward to Him saving souls and adding several to this membership of this church, just like they did here. This is not impossible for the Lord to do. You say, now, Brother Jones, you're a preacher. You're expecting stuff like that, but you know, us lay people, we don't. But we see what happened here in this first great revival meeting. You know, one of the reasons we're not having great revival meetings like they did back here? We're not willing to pay the consequences, pay the price for a meeting. Now we can have one. Or we can just have a week of services. Now what do you want? You want a week of services, or you want a week of revival? Or 2 weeks revival? Well, I don't know. I don't know if we can stand 2 week meeting or not. Y'all remember when you just have two-week meetings? You go for a whole 2 weeks. Huh? Y'all remember that? Some of you shaking your head. Yeah, you all remember that. Same thing can happen here. You know, this book is exciting. It really is. If we just only believe it. And I want you all to go home tonight and from here, from now on until the meeting, and I want every day, I want you to pray and God to get a hold of us and show us what we need in our life and what we need to do, and pray that you'll be able to just simply trust the Lord for a great revival. Just really believe with all of your heart that God will send you a revival meeting. I mean really trust Him for it. You know, sometimes it's just hard for us, isn't it, to just believe the Lord. Man, there's times when I read the Bible and I read it and I'm just reading it. But boy, sometimes there's times when I say, oh Lord, just give me grace to be able to just believe you and to just be able to trust you. My faith sometimes gets so weak. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And I just pray, oh Lord, just help me that I'll be stronger, that I'll be able to trust you more. And so we see that this revival just kept on continuing. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the revival continued for days. But we're going to have to be obedient. We're going to have to be separated. We're going to have to be praying. We're going to have to be boldly witnessing. And sinners will be saved and added to the church. We need a God-sent, God-given revival. And if we look upward, we're going to see the Lord. If we look inward, we're going to see ourselves. And then we look outward, we're going to see those that need to be saved by the grace of God. You know, there's three persons that's living in each one of us. The one that we think we are, and the other one others think we are, and thirdly, the one that God knows we are. And that's so true. Do you want a revival? You say, well, what's the definition of revival? When you see the prefix re, that means again, doesn't it? And the root of vive means what? It means, vive means life. That's where we get the word revival. So when you put the two words together, you have again life. And so you can't have revival, or you can't have again life, unless you have life to start with. You can't reestablish something that's never been established. So we must be revived. We must have life before we can be revived. We're saved by the grace of God. We've all been born again. We all have spiritual life. But from time to time, we need again life. We need revived. We need again life. You say, Brother Jones, that's where I'm at. I need to be revived. You know, you start tonight. You don't have to wait 2 weeks from now. Begin tonight. You're here tonight and not saved. Maybe the Lord saved during this message. I don't know. What are you trusting in? You say, Brother Jones, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this thing. I'm just believing and I'm trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. That's what I'm trusting in. Come tonight if you can do that.